Thank you for the introduction. Today, I'd like to talk about Into Dark Matter from the Anisotropic Universe. And this is based on the paper with Katsuki, Tomohiro, and Shinji. And first, this is an overview of today's talk. And the keyword is Into Dark Matter. It's observationally interesting because it can be tested by gravitational wave detectors. And it's also interesting for Celli, and I will focus on the Celli side today. And the spin to dark matter is regarded as a massive graviton, and it can be constructed by the bigravity theory. It is one of the gravity theories. And we will propose the spin to dark matter production from the anisotropic universe today. And I will find the implication to the observations. And as you know, many dark matter models with various mass are suggested so far. The lightest dark matter model is called ultralight dark matter. Yes. And there is three features: light, ozone, and a classical wave. And interestingly, ultralight dark matter in this region can be tested by gravitational wave detectors. In fact, the frequency for ultralight dark matter with 10 to minus 12 electron volt is about 200 volts. So it's in LIGO band. So ultralight spin to dark matter also can be tested by gravitational wave detectors like LIGO, Virgo, Kagura, and so on. And spin to dark matter is a tensorial dark matter originating from bigravity. And the spin to dark matter is regarded as a massive graviton because it has the same coupling as the usual masses spin to field. I mean the usual masses gravitational wave. So
you knew it's like,
oh, it's a matter field. Thank you.
And the phi is with derivative or
phi is the massive spin to field. So usually the masses spin to field, so gravitational wave couples to the matter with this type of coupling. So in this case, the mg becomes m Planck, h mu, g mu. Because the interaction term is the same, the ultralight spin to dark matter can be searched by the gravitational wave detector. Then today's topic is the production mechanism of the spin to dark matter, especially from the phase transition of the anisotropic universe. Geometrically, the anisotropic perturbation of the massive graviton can be regarded as spin to dark matter. The previous studies shows that the massive anisotropy behaves as a dust fluid, and the other previous study shows that the massive spin-tip particle construct can be consistent with the structure formation. So before getting into the detail of the production mechanism, I'd like to talk about the anisotropic X point in bigravity. First, the bigravity is the gravity theory with two metrics, g mu nu and f mu nu. It is a theory of massive graviton which couples to the massless graviton, so it describes massive spin-tip particles in a gravitational field. And this is the action of bigravity. And the first two terms represent Einstein-Hilbert terms. And the first one is for G metric. And the second one is for F metric. And the third term represent the interaction term between G mu nu and F mu nu. And at least there are two types of mass bigravity theory, as a northern bigravity and a minimum theory of bigravity. So the Hassan-Rosen bigravity, HRBG, is the simplest one, simplest and the standard model of bigravity. And it is a Lorentz invariant bigravity. And the degrees of freedom is 7, 2 masses, and 5 massive. So usually, massive graviton has 5 degrees of freedom because there are two, at least the two modes. So I mean, two tensor modes, two vector modes, one scalar mode. So there are 5 degrees of freedom. And so this theory also has a massless graviton. So 2 plus 5 is 7. And the minimal theory of bigravity is Lorentz violating bigravity, but interestingly, it's the degrees of freedom of minimal theory of bigravity is only 2 plus 2. So 2 is for massless graviton and 2 is for massive graviton. So there are only tensor mode. So the background equation in the homogeneous universe say the same as Hassan-Rosen bigravity, and there is no scalar mode. So there is no Yukawa force. There is no Higgs Gauss. So it's really useful because there are no Higgs Gauss, so we can avoid the instabilities. Anyway, I will show our setups. I assume one of the homogeneous and the anisotropic universe, Bianchi type 1 universe. And the corresponding metrics are given by this. Eta G and beta F are anisotropy. And I won't assume that anisotropies are perturbations. So anisotropies are relatively large. And we also assume the vacuum configuration for simplicity. So then we obtain the background equation like this. And the first equation is a Friedmann equation for G metric. And the F metric Friedmann equation is omitted today. And the sigma g represents the time derivative of beta g, and beta represents the difference between beta g and beta f. And the second equation is the equation for anisotropies, and U represents the potential for beta. So it represents that the anisotropies behaves as a two fluid. And we also have constraint equation. But today, I omit it because it's too long. But anyway, the important point is that the background equations are a nonlinear ordinary differential equation because of the anisotropies, because we use anisotropy anisotropy is not perturbation. So the equation of motion becomes a nonlinear ordinary differential equation. In general, nonlinear ordinary differential equation is complicated, complex. So first, as a first step, let's look at the fixed point solution of this system. Okay, the fixed point is a stationary solution, so it holds these conditions. As a result, we get the isotropic fixed point and anisotropic fixed point. So for the isotropic fixed point, there are two branches. Normal branch and the self-accelerating branch. So this is a constraint equation, and the first one represents the normal branch, and the second, so this part represents the self-accelerating branch. So yeah, there are a lot of previous works, but on the other hand, for an isotropic fixed point is new, and it can be decided by this algebraic equation from C0 to C4 represents C0 to C4 represents a constant decided by the constant parameters of by gravity. Okay. And then let's look at the local stability of the fixed point by.
Can you go back to the?
Okay. Okay.
The Hubble is constant at the fixed point, but it's not zero. Is Hubble zero?
Hubble.
HG and HF. They are not zero.
Oh.
Yes.
They are not zero.
Okay.
Just the dot is zero. Oh, thank you. So H dot is zero, so it's a theta like evolution. Then local stability. By linearizing around each fixed point like this, then we can get the equation of the massive anisotropy like this. So eta one is this. So M square can be regarded, so M can be regarded as a mass of beta one. So and M squared can be decided for each fixed point. So then the stability condition is, roughly speaking, the stability condition is the positivity of M squared. And more precisely, the stability is classified by the relation between mg squared and hg squared and m squared. Hg represents the Hubble or g metric, and there are three types of stabilities and stable spiral, stable node, saddle point. And a stable spiral represents the damping oscillation because the m squared is larger than h Hubble squared. So it's like a damp oscillation like this. Okay. And the second one is a stable node, and it represents overdamping because Hubble parameter is larger than m square mass. And the third one is a saddle point, and it's almost unstable excepting for one direction. So the phase portrait can show more global behavior. The red point represents the unstable anisotropic fixed point, and the black point represents the stable isotropic fixed point. Then the the anisotropy decays into the black point, right, like this. So then let's look at the spin to dark matter production by using the fixed point solution. We have considered a vacuum configuration so far. And here I introduce the external field, such as infraton or radiation. The time evolution of the external field occurs a phase transition from isotropic to anisotropic X point. And at the moment of the phase transition, the massive anisotropy is produced. So, at the first stage, the universe is anisotropic. And if there is the external field, it can change the stability of the fixed point. Then, if the anisotropic fixed point become unstable, and the isotropic fixed point becomes stable, then the universe becomes isotropic, like this, like a phase transition. Then, geometrically, the damped oscillation. The damped oscillation around the isotropic fixed point can be regarded as a dust fluid because the density can decay as A to minus 3. A is the scale factor. So this is like a dust fluid. Today's universe is, of course, isotropic. So we have to prepare the phase transition like this. And we can get the Smith dark matter. So the external field changes the stability of the fixed point, and the phase portrait changes around it like this. At the first stage, the anisotropic fixed point is stable. Stable, yes. And the universe is staying at the anisotropic fixed point, so the rest point. At the second stage, the anisotropic fixed point becomes unstable. Then the universe transits into the black isotropic fixed point. And the third stage, the mass becomes larger than the Hubble parameter. Then the isotropy start oscillating. So this represents the oscillation of the matter. So then we can get the spin to dark matter. And this is a naive estimate of dark matter abundance in our scenario.
Hello? May I ask a question?
Go ahead, Zuma.
Yeah, so when you're talking about these solutions, should I think of them as some sort of topological or non-topological defects, or like, what is the timescale for forming these anisotropic fixed point, as you call them?
So the time scale for what? For the production?
Yes.
For the formation of the one on the left, yeah.
So it's completely dependent on the external field. So Actually, so in order to get the time scale or the abundance, we have to consider a specific external field, in photon or radiation, but we don't consider, we didn't consider the specific type, so we didn't do any numerical simulation now, so I cannot answer about the time scale now, but I think it can be estimated by the time scale of infraton or radiation, so I mean we can guess the time scale by using the Hubble parameter usually, so roughly speaking.
So the question is usually like, do you produce enough like of these things to start with, right?
Yes.
Do I see that you can produce enough?
Yes. yes, the abundance and the time scale can be decided by the time of phase transition and the time of the starting of oscillation. So there is two time. We need two time scale. And
may I ask like a different question then, like for your isotropic solution, is that like a metastable solution or not? Like even in early universe?
I think it's a stable solution. I'm assuming that the threat universe is stable.
Late universe, in the early universe, at the very left side of your plot is the isotropic one. Fixed point, that is that point like a metastable solution or like tachyon? Is there tachyon?
Oh, sorry. Oh, for an isotropic fixed point?
No, the isotropic, the black.
Yes, one. Yes.
Is it a stable at early times?
So early means this part. Yes. So
is it metastable?
It depends on the scenario. So if you want to make it metastable, maybe you can do. So, but yeah, maybe it's depend on the external field, and it's depend on the parameter of bigravity. So I cannot answer now. But maybe I can answer by if I do the numerical simulation by setting specific external field. Yeah, thank you. So actually, I did some numerical simulation. So yeah, so I didn't summarize that. So.
It looks like it depends on how you couple to matter, right?
Yes, yes.
And you haven't shown us how you want to couple to matter, so that's the main.
Yes. So all the. Yeah, right. Okay. I will go next slide. So then this is a naive estimate of the spin to dark matter abundance from our scenario. And and we assume the phase transition occurs at the radiation dominant era, and beta is order 1 at the transition time. And in this plot, the vertical axis represents the fraction times the coupling constant of alpha squared. And the Fg is the ratio of spin to dark matter to total dark matter. And the alpha squared represents the coupling constant between spin to dark matter and the usual matter field. Then the gravitational wave detector can detect spin to dark matter even if the fraction is very, very small. So this line is Fg equals to 1, Fg equals to 10 to minus 3, 10 to minus 6. So even LIGO can detect, even LIGO is very, very sensitive to the dark matter, into dark matter.
Sorry, I'm a bit confused. You have Fg and then you have Fg times alpha squared.
Yes.
So are you assuming something for alpha?
No.
And I don't understand why you have. So you show Fg alpha squared.
Yes. In this assumption, we can get this equation. So Fg is a function of alpha squared. We can regard as the Fg is a function of alpha squared. So I can just put the multiplying alpha squared to Fg, we can get the line like this.
And then solve that equation.
Yes. So this is the final slide, and this is a summary. The spin to dark matter can be produced by the phase transition, produced by the phase transition of the anisotropic universe. So yeah, there is a lot of things to confirm. But it's very interesting because it can be tested by gravitational wave detectors by using LIGO, Virgo, and Kagura. So we already have data of gravitational waves, so we can search the spin to dark matter. So yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Okay, so let's go to questions. Any questions in the room first? There is a question online. Kerry, do you want to unmute and ask your question? So I guess Kerry is asking if we could produce this dark matter experimentally or not.
Experimentally?
Yeah.
Like LHC?
Or maybe can dark matter detectors see this? How does it interact with matter?
I don't know, maybe yes. So today's model is really, really light model. So it's like 10 to minus 90, 10 to minus 11. So the mass is very different from the LHC and the gravitational wave detectors. But maybe this production mechanism can make heavy in the dark matter. So yeah, maybe we can find by using, let's see, but I don't know detail. I'm sorry.
Thanks. Other questions? So it looks like for Fj equal to 1, at least in the LIGO range, it's already ruled out. If you want it to be done.
Fj equal 1, yes. But anyone didn't do the constraint now. So this is just a design call.
But given that LIGO, I mean, doesn't see like a noise, which is, I don't know, 10 orders of magnitude bigger.
Yes. Yes. So
probably that's not.
Yes.
That's not right.
Yes, I think so.
Very cool. But it's interesting that there is really no model dependence there. I think you said it's all of dark matter. Do you use that local density of dark matter in for this? What density of dark matter did you use?
Yes. We use the local density of dark matter to get this dark matter line, so these gravitational waves that lines.
But if the phase transition happens at a different time, you said assume it. When did you assume the phase transition happens?
Radiation era, radiation dominant era.
Any time in the radiation era, it doesn't matter when.
So anytime. Well. Yes, any time.
Okay.
But yeah, maybe the so it's this is just a rough estimation. So yeah, maybe yeah, there is some corrections, a lot of corrections.
Okay, very good. Thanks a lot. Any questions that maybe popped up in the past 5 minutes? I've got the, so Isik is going to be here for the, how long are you going to be here? For a few more months, right?
So until May, until
okay,
May
10th. So
10?
Your time if you want to find him. What is your office number?
406.
406. Okay. Let's thank our speaker again.
Thank you.